why would we bother doing a podcast?
I don't know.
Yeah, we think about that a lot. That would just be a print artist?
Better.
Leave a comment that's hashtag this is awkward. And guys, right before we get into everything, listen, if you're a horror comic book fan or dark fantasy, you like mystery and suspense and big monsters and government conspiracy and big old swords, then listen, we have the Kickstarter for you to back. Welcome to Everville. Number one is live on Kickstarter right now. We funded within 3 hours of our launch on June 2nd. So if you're listening to this and you haven't already backed Welcome to Everville number one, then please jump over to Kickstarter. Check out all the awesome rewards. With us being over 100% funded, that means you're going to get whatever reward tier you pick. And then we're hunting after stretch goals, which is just more free stuff that comes to you. So guys, help us get this thing done, done strong, so we can keep going with the Catalyst Comics company as well. We appreciate all that you guys are doing. So welcome to Everville number one, live on Kickstarter right now. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Beards and Comics podcast. We have some new content again. We just got out of doing a writer's roundtable and then the artist roundtable after that. And so with Catalyst Comics, we have a Kickstarter that launched, if you're listening to this, when it came out 2 days ago. So we thought it'd be cool to actually just do an episode talking about everything Kickstarter. So we asked the questions for you guys to write into us, and we have that list, and we're going to go through all those. And we have new guests and one old guest. So
he's
Travis,
not that old.
Travis was on during the writers roundtable just a couple of weeks ago. So glad to have you back. New people, we have Martin Piero, who I don't know.
Oh no.
I'm going to go back after the introductions and just get you guys to give like a little bit of rundown of just who you are. And then we also have Mr. Comics Launch. That's just how I'm going to introduce him. Mr. Comics Launch is on with us as well. So Martin,
yes.
Who are you?
I'm just a guy. No, I'm a big comics guy. I love comics. I've been working in comics for 11 years now, I guess. Been a fan my whole life. Decided to do some self-publishing around 2008 and stuck with it. Quit my day job about 6 years ago now to make this my my life. And what a life it's been. Yeah.
Wow. Man, yeah. Living the dream.
That's what I tell people. Well, anyways, sometimes I'm living the nightmare, but it is what it is.
Depends on the day. Yes. All right. And Mr. Comics Launch, Tyler, most people probably have seen you at some point if they're interested in indie comics and comics in general. But just for kicks and giggles, who are you?
Yeah, this is Tyler James. I am the publisher of Comics Tribe. We do comics, graphic novels, and we've got a pretty successful children's book line called See Us for Cthulhu. And I also am the host of the Comics Launch podcast, and I run a training community and program called Comics Launch Pro, which is really laser focused on helping creators who sort of get to that point where, hey, I've got this book. I'm ready to put it out into the world, but now what the heck do I do that? And, you know, there's this whole range of skill sets that I'm sure you've been talking about on this show around the creation of comics. But there's a big gap between, you know, and not a strong overlap between what it takes to create a really great comic and then what it takes to actually build an audience for it, launch it to the world, and really build a sustainable business around what it is that you create. And that's really what Comics Launch is there to provide and serve. So, yeah, I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, definitely glad to have you. It's cool that you wanted to jump on with us. You actually did classes within the first week of – so this next Kickstarter will be our third, but you did classes within the first week of our two other Kickstarters, and I think I took both of them, like both times.
Awesome.
But yeah, so it helped a lot. And I knew the second time around if I jumped on early, you'd be like, you know, if you guys got stuff, let me look at it, and I'll give you tips. And so you did. So the first question, I'm just going to kind of read these the way they came in, and I guess we'll decipher them if they don't make a whole lot of sense because, you know, internet. So this one was,
Real quick, Aaron.
Yeah.
Real quick. Should we, for the people that don't know, go over exactly what Kickstarter is and how it works for you? Because I see that when we launch a Kickstarter, and there's so many people that just don't even know what a Kickstarter is, how it works, and all that kind of stuff. And it's very confusing.
Let me agree with you. I was talking to my accountant the other day, and I'm like, well, how do I handle the Kickstarter? And he's like, what's Kickstarter? I was like,
no. Exactly.
So there's so many.
And I feel like that's a big problem, because you're like, hey, we're launching a new Kickstarter. And they're like, what is a Kickstarter? And then you have to go through this bridging the gap of like how to explain to them, because then we also have a problem of like, oh, okay, well, okay, cool. Well, just tell me when the book is out. And it's like, no, that's not how Kickstarter works at all.
Yeah. Right.
And there's such a gap in it.
And the first question is, what is Kickstarter?
there you go.
But yeah, so I don't even know everyone's backgrounds on how many Kickstarters everyone's done. So I guess we'll start with, Matt and I are just going to take notes this whole time as you guys talk, because I think we're the babies of the group. We've done two, going on three. So Travis, how many Kickstarters have you done?
Today or just in general?
As of today.
How many Kickstarters do you have going on right now, Travis?
Yeah.
So ones that I was complete control of is 7. And then I've been part of 12 total. So meaning that I was part of the background, a collaborator doing graphics or whatever the case would be. But 7 total. But that's just since 2018. It's not very long.
And how about you, Martin?
I've done 4 successfully, 1 unsuccessfully, and then I have the one I'm doing right now. So what is that? That's a 6 altogether. But I flirt with Kickstarter. I come in and then I do one, I disappear. So I'm just now starting to fully embrace the whole Kickstarter as a business model or as a distribution model to reach customers. And a lot of that has to do with A, talking to Travis, and B, listening to Tyler's podcast, absorbing all that information. And it just seems to be the way to go these days.
That's actually funny that you said it like that, because Matt and I had that same conversation early part of this year. Was like, what's the plan? What are we trying to move toward? And that was the conversation we had. And Travis and Tyler, both of them come up in that conversation as well. It was more of a, well, how do we actually take this and adapt it to something to where we can just keep coming out with content? So, Tyler, how many have you done?
Travis is on pace to eclipse me, but we launched our first campaign in 2012, and to date I've sort of managed and run directly 19 projects, done about $500,000 plus. Wow. In funding for those projects, and it's really been a key component of just leveling up Comics Tribe. But I've also sort of through the podcast had, shared the voices of hundreds and hundreds of creators and picked their brains. And then I've also got a sort of inside view on over 200 and I think 35 successful launches from creators inside Comics Launch Pro, like Travis and others who have just sort of, followed, the kind of game plan that that's worked for me, and then added their own twists and wrinkles and strategies and done it in a way that just provide a lot of access to that. So what's nice is, there's success always leaves clues, and a lot of the clues that weren't necessarily there when Kickstarter launched and when I was working on my first launches, they're out there now. We know what works. And so it's an exciting time to actually be a creator launching crowdfunding projects,
Yeah, absolutely. So with that kind of just broad overview of how many, now let's actually break into, what is Kickstarter? What's its purpose for, as this podcast pertains to, for indie comics? And Tyler, we'll jump back to you to start it off. Kind of just, what is Kickstarter and why does it matter to indie comic book creators?
Yeah, so Kickstarter is a crowdfunding platform for creative projects. And just a couple of things that I think is important for people to take the mindset of it is Kickstarter is not charity. You are offering an exchange of value for value. And it is not a storefront. So what Kickstarter is set up to do is it's set up for launches. And set up and the difference between it's also one of the special reasons why Kickstarter pages convert far higher than most pages on the internet, and will convert higher than your own online shop and other things, is because it is like this super slick platform with millions and millions of credit cards of past backers already on file, such that it's a very, very smooth and frictionless transaction for people to support you over there. But it's also geared towards projects like the projects that are most successful are able to not just, you know, hey, I've got something to sell, but I'm launching it as sort of an event that's going to be going on and driving people to it. And so what it allows you to do is put out an offer for a singular project or vision, but also invite your fans to come and support it at a range of pledge levels, from, you know, very, very inexpensive all the way up to premium levels, which is makes it a profit and a revenue, at least, maximizer compared to just about anything else that you might try to launch a new project. So, one of the questions I asked on my podcast, the comics launch for years is just finish this statement. Kickstarter is blank. And, so I'd be interested to hear how some of you that also have a Kickstarter experience, like how would you, fill in that blank?
Well, I want to just follow on one more thing you just said there about the launch. A few years ago, and I know a lot of the people in the industry do view it the same way as Kickstarter. I'm holding out my tin cup, hoping somebody throws some quarters in it. It was actually listening to your podcast talking about the concept of a launch and embracing it's a simple little twist of your mindset, and it changed my perception of Kickstarter as a creator. As far as the general consumer's perception of Kickstarter, I think that's always a challenge that we still have to change. But again, the concept of it, viewing it, it's not a store, it's not a pre-sale, it's a launch, it's building an audience and a product. And again, listening to Tyler's podcast really helped change my philosophy. I used to call it hobo money, which you get from Kickstarter. But now I've since, like I said, just that little twist, little turn, and it just changed my perception 100%.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Travis, on that same vein, you know, what is Kickstarter? And then you can kind of get into why it's vital for really, I guess, for our what we do with indie comics and getting it out to people.
I'm still trying to figure it out. I don't know what this thing is. Like, I was just thrown in here. So one of my first goals as being a creator, one of my biggest dreams was I want someone to buy my book who's never heard of me. Mm-hmm. Kickstarter did that on day one.
Right.
That's the power, and that's what Kickstarter is. Kickstarter is a way for you to reach an audience who's there, who is hungry for new content. That with just a click of a button and you putting your stuff out there, that they can respond. You know, I never in a million years would have thought I would sell a comic book to somebody in Australia consistently. I never thought that 3 years down the road, people who've been following me will now go, I want me in your comic book because your comic's so important to me. Or people who are running huge platforms of comics going, hey, you're my favorite indie comic. Like, over Image, over to, like, I still can't even fathom that when you do it. So that's why it's so important, is to build a fan base. Kickstarter has a fan base that's just as strong as any comic store you go to in the nation. It has a strong fan base that's ready to purchase your stuff, and it's always ever growing. You know, for every time I look at my, you know, my biggest one was 180 backers. I look at the 2,000 backers that Brian Polito has, you know, for, you know, I'm not even there yet. Like, so it's amazing. And it's to get those fans and to create this environment. And every day I get a new fan. Every day I get someone who's following me. Even the Kickstarter that I'm running right now, that was literally just anthology stuff. And I was like, hey, let's throw this out there to see if people are interested in it. I'm going to keep it a low pledge level. And of course, people launched on because they want to see what I have to say. They want to be part of the process of me being a creator and being a better creator, which is just amazing. So that's what Kickstarter is all about for me and what I think it does for the industry.
Yeah. Matt, talk a little bit about us, man. Because we kind of came into it. The first one was rough. Second one went a lot better. And then I think we both feel good about what we're about to do.
Well, I mean, I think our biggest problem, obviously, when we first started was we didn't know anything. We didn't know anybody. We didn't know how it worked. We went in so blind. We were just like, oh, you do a Kickstarter to sell a book. Because it's Indie 101. Our biggest problem, step one, make the book. And just like, you know, Tyler said, where do you go to after that? Then it was, well, there's only a couple options. And obviously, like, not to bring anything bad up, but, you know, like, getting into a comic book store was like pulling teeth out of anybody to, you know, get your comic book to get, hey, how do we get noticed? How do we get more people? How do we sell it? How do we, all those questions came up. And so obviously Kickstarter was that next step. And then it was me and Aaron, okay, how does this work? And we went in with a really not knowing anything and way too high of a pledge. And then just kind of just struggled the whole way, but we did make it. And that was definitely one of those things. So
can I just jump back in on this real quick to something he just said?
Yeah.
You were talking about getting into comic stores, and Tyler as well, Diamond Distributed. I'm Diamond Distributed as well. And it's a challenge to get into comic stores. And when you're in the previews catalog, it's always a shuffle because we're always in the back behind. We're in what we call the green set the green section in the back. But I think Kickstarter is kind of an equalizer when it comes to that, as opposed, because everybody's on an even playing field when you start with Kickstarter, as opposed to in the previews catalog, or as opposed to trying to knock on comic stores. I really agree with kind of what you were saying. Again, the Kickstarter is, like I said, an equalizer, and it goes to, I think somebody said indie comics, and to the average consumer, it's not comics or indie comics or mainstream comics on Kickstarter. It's just comics. Right. And that's kind of the beauty of the app, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. It lets us get in front of people that are native to Kickstarter. So they're used to backing other projects on Kickstarter. And then, you know, it's nice to see people that sign up for Kickstarter just to back your work as well. That's always encouraging. But it's been an interesting ride so far. So getting, I guess, more logistical, somebody asked, how does Kickstarter work and what percentage do they take? So I'm going to leave that just open so anybody can jump in with that.
Well, I want to talk about this because I actually was having a back and forth with, and this was, you know, a rarity nowadays, but it was in the comments of one of my posts, and it was actually a respectful back and forth or a discussion. But, you know, it was around the concept of who Kickstarter is for and who it's not for. And, you know, but the short answer to that is Kickstarter provides a platform. It's free to use, right? So that there is no cost for any creator of any level to hop on Kickstarter, create an account, create a project, launch that project. You only get charged as a creator when your project is fully funded to the project goal that you set. And you may hear creators, you know, see a big name creator like Todd McFarlane last month launched a $3.4 million project. We all saw that. And you know, you see people hating on it, and you see this another thing that a lot of creators come out and say, and they're like, the Kickstarter's not for people like Todd. He doesn't need the money, like all this other things. I want to encourage those creators to reframe their thinking a little bit, because it's important for us to remember and consider that one of the reasons why Kickstarter is free to set up and free to launch and only is able to only take 5% of total successful pledges, right? Is because there are some massive projects that do extremely well, often by people that are not newbies or indie or just indie or launching their first project or are unestablished as business people. And it is those projects. It is the, you know, $3.4 million projects that Kickstarter is able to take 5% of that mm-hmm. helps subsidize the 70% of projects that launch and don't fund that are still hosted for free on Kickstarter. And all of the sort of younger, less established creators that launch have equally valid projects. Like there's, I'm not going to say Todd is more or Prod's project is more or less deserving of being supported than the person launching their first mini comic, right? Like they're equally valid, but let's be honest, the project that raises $1,000, like that 5% is probably not paying paying its way. And so
right,
let's
right.
those established projects that that can raise a lot of funding help keep Kickstarter free to sign up with and free to use and keep it going. And Todd's project also brought over 1,000 brand new people that had never backed projects on Kickstarter before to the Kickstarter platform. And that means the next time they see something cool, it's two clicks.
That's right.
And they can back it. And Kickstarter's data shows that a significant portion of them will.
It's awesome.
I agree.
I don't even know what to add to that.
So no. What you're saying is Kickstarter is a good platform.
Well, that's what we're kind of saying.
Kickstarter gets the Indiegogo, the people who support Indiegogo really like it. And they like to point out that Kickstarter takes a higher percentage in Indiegogo. But I really like to point out that, but the added value is right what Tyler's saying, the stored credit cards, the full accounts of people who follow your name and follow your account. You know, they follow me and they know when I launch. When I launched my latest Kickstarter, everyone got an email letting them know that I launched. When I accidentally launched a Kickstarter, not on purpose, and had to cancel a minute later, they all got that same email. But it's a good thing because it allows those people to follow me and me to follow other people. I love looking what other people back. I often find something that I didn't know, or a creator who's on his seventh Kickstarter raising $10,000 who I've never heard of before, who has this huge fan base. That is awesome to me. And it's something that the other platform, Indiegogo, just doesn't have yet. It just doesn't have that. And though that extra percentage for me is well worth it. I have no problem paying that extra percentage.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I think you all just hit important stuff is especially like Tyler was just saying with the, you know, 1,000 new people on there. That's just the more creators that we get on there that bring in new people anyway, that's more people that would be interested in other stuff. So it's just a snowball effect if you're putting out good content and delivering on your promises. So what were you surprised? Some of you guys are going to have to think back a while, like all the way back. What were you surprised by for your first Kickstarter? And I'll start with we'll go with Martin.
Oh, my first Kickstarter. I think the biggest surprise was how I grossly underestimated what my cost would be when I set up my Kickstarter and ended up paying out quite a bit of money just to finish the book myself. That was a mistake. Again, Kickstarter is a trial and learning process. Again, I think part of the surprise I've gotten from Kickstarter is the community aspect. There is a hey, you have a Kickstarter, I have a Kickstarter type community aspect that has crept up over the last few years, and connecting with people at conventions and of course online. So that's been a pleasant surprise as opposed to the first one, which was a negative surprise.
Yeah, absolutely. That creator aspect of being able to connect with each other, I think has been vital for just the growth of what we're doing at Catalyst. It's meeting different people, even just being able to talk with people like you guys. It's helped a lot, especially knowing like people have been through it too, I think.
But, and that's also one of the things that, you know, I'll just give a quick pro tip right now for everyone.
Let me get my paper. Hold on.
The things, you know, that is can be the most powerful thing that you can do that requires literally no effort on your part. And I learned this with my second campaign launch. It was sort of like in the middle of the campaign where, you know, a lot of people call it the dead zone. And all of a sudden I got a flood of backers, and I'm like, where did these backers come from? I was traveling to New York Comic Con at the time. I wasn't able to promote or do much. And the convention hadn't even started yet. And I'm like, where did these backers came from? And I realized that, they came from the fact that we got a $5, a $10, you know, just, you know, not nothing astronomical pledge from a creator, a friend of mine, Jeff McComsey, who had, you know, within the past year launched a massively successful campaign for his FUBAR series and Mother Russia, and had hundreds and hundreds of people that follow him on Kickstarter. And what's great about that is if people follow you on Kickstarter, then they'll get a notification when you back a project. And you've probably seen this when you're following people on Kickstarter, your inbox will sometimes flood with multiple people that you follow backing a single project. And that's sort of, you know, that's that crowd herd mentality that's optimized for our behalf. And so one of the things that a lot of people don't do is they don't go and connect their Kickstarter account to their Facebook account. And Facebook will pull in all of your friends, your friend list, and give you the option of following your friends. And what I tell people to do is, hey, you know, log on, connect Facebook to your Kickstarter, and follow every single person that you're possibly connected to, because a good portion of them will follow you back. And then that's all these people that are going to not just see what kind of cool stuff that you're backing and remind you them that, hey, you've got great taste, but they'll also get an automatic notification without you having to even send them an email as soon as your next project backs. And that's just something that is just an easy thing that you can do that will promote your campaign on your behalf.
Oh, yeah.
And I've seen the power of that so many times of where I've posted, and it's always random people too. I've seen people who are literally friends of mine, do not read comics. One of the examples is Shark of War. Ben Lenzi just did one last year, literally saw that I backed it, and immediately went over to his book and bought Shark of War. He's never bought a comic as far as I'm aware beyond mine, so, you know, but anything can inspire them. And that means they're looking at my follow, they're looking at what I back, and I back a lot of stuff. So it's really interesting the impact that it still has even this late in the game.
Oh yeah, absolutely. What are some things that you wish you knew before you ran your first Kickstarter? Which I think it even still applies now. I know it does for us anyway. It's just stuff that we wish we had thought about before. We'll jump back to you, Travis, to start that.
Be honest, and not to like blow smoke, but Tyler's course really prepared me for what I needed to know on my first launch. But what I'll do is, what I will say about my later launch, my last launch, I left a lot of money on the table because I forgot some of the basics because I started getting good at it. I started getting good at Kickstarter and I forgot some of the basics. And because of those basics, it cost me a little bit of money, cost me some backers. And those basics are really important. And one of those basics is just looking at what you're offering and how you do it. Don't try to, you are offering a premium. You do not have to reduce it. And I was reducing it, trying to get more backers and trying to get most things, where I offered a premium. My premium value lost value because I added a new pledge that was semi-similar. And that was a real wake-up call for me, reminding me that what I have is valuable and people want to spend it. And I had forgot that because I was looking at how can I get the lowest cost of entry to get people good stuff, which is still my goal. But how can I do that and also offer someone who wants to pay a premium to get something really unique, really special, allow them that opportunity to do that. So that's one of the things that I wish that I would have remembered as I kept doing this.
Yeah. I mean, I'm 19 projects in, I teach this every day. And yet, I still force myself to, set up a project folder using my project folder template for every project, print out my checklist for every phase, go through my own stuff, go through my own process for videos and pledges and budgets and other things. Because, like, as Travis said, you know, the success of your campaign, so much of that is built before you hit that green launch button. I think that's something that a lot of people don't appreciate. But you asked a great question in terms of what did you wish that you knew about? And I wish I knew going into my first campaign how the difference between spreadsheets and reality in terms of just like you know, doing a print run and looking at, you know, the number of like 2,000 copies of a book. Okay. That's, right. That's a lot, but it's not a tremendous amount. And look, if we go to 3,000, it gets significantly cheaper. And then actually realizing what the, you know, 3,000 books looks like when it shows up at the port of Boston, which for whatever reason, I didn't figure out that I didn't, you know, I, with my print vendor and other things, like I ended up having to get a U-Haul truck and drive down to the port of Boston myself, load the thing all by myself and then drive all that U-Haul, get a storage locker to store it. I was living on a third floor apartment at the time. It was in the and fulfillment kicked in the same month I was getting married. And so I'm up like packaging and shipping out hundreds and hundreds of books by myself that I'm carrying load by load up three flights of stairs. Knew at the end of that for launch that I never wanted to do that again, and that there had to be fulfillment options that would lighten that load for me. And, you know, thankfully there are.
That's awesome.
Well, I tell you, the thing I wish I knew was to connect my Facebook account to Kickstarter. Next time I'll know to do that. What Tyler said, though, is totally true. I once got some trades from China. I don't know who I printed with at the time. I think it was Kraken. And I went to pick them up at FedEx or wherever they came in, UPS. And yeah, it was the same situation. Like, how is this going to fit in my car? I got it all in. But I had boxes on my shoulder. The car's like a lowrider pulling out of there. Yeah. So that's something I still struggle with. And I don't know if anybody has any advice on this. How many to print? You know, it's like, do I overprint so I have plenty for the conventions? Because I know for the comic stores I'll print elsewhere, but for that initial print run, how many do I want to have in boxes in my? And that's something I'm still balancing with now as I'm looking at almost sold out of the first issue of this series that I'm funding the complete series through Kickstarter, knowing now I have to go back and print more issue ones to fulfill the complete set. So that's jacking my budget up higher than I initially intended. So that's a balance I'm still struggling with.
Yeah, I think it's an eternal balance. You know, with one of our Kickstarter funded books, Sea is for Cthulhu, which is the children's book, you know, we've been back to print four times on it. And our first print run was 2,500 copies. And so every time we have to print, it's several thousand, but had we just, you know, bought the bullet and done, you know, a 7,000 copy print run, up, you know, on that first Kickstarter, like that would have cost the same as maybe, you know, half of what we've totally spent on printing. But of course, you know, at that time, I didn't realize that this book would have the after sale and the longevity and life on other platforms like Amazon and retail partners and things. So and future launches. So a lot of times, like I don't know that it's the publisher's curse, right? You are like, if you print too few, you left money on the table. If you print too many, you know, you're using books for firewood. If that's
yeah. What about you, Travis?
What's exactly the question? I mean, I would tell you that I need to order more copies of issue one and have a new cover because I'm down to like 120, which is really good. I had a 1500 print run, so I did really, really well. But yeah, for the fourth Kickstarter, I'm going to have to figure out some sort of solution. I'm going to have to do a new cover or something to do that. So yeah, I mean, preparing for that is not a thing. The other thing I want to mention for people doing Kickstarter, especially their second, is advertising it for one and two to try to attract, you know, readers all the way through. You know, one of the rookie mistakes that I see people do and why I think issue twos are so hard to fund on Kickstarter is they don't do that. They put their issue two up and people are like, oh, well, they don't have issue ones. And some people, because they printed so little, don't actually even have issue ones to sell people.
Right.
So they don't even have that option. So they wonder, why am I struggling to fund? Well, you don't have someone who wants to jump and support you. You don't have an option for them to really do that properly if they want physical.
Yeah. And I'll jump onto that, Travis. I think that's a great tip. And I will also say, I know that there's creators out there that like have been in this game for a while. They've been doing the convention scenes. Maybe they've been in Diamond. Maybe they've been self-funding or you know, doing what I saw a tweet a while back where Rick Remender said, you know, in my day we had something called like Kickstarter. It was called a high interest credit card, right? but they've been doing that, but then they decide, you know what? It's time, you know, like I was stubborn thinking now I'm going to jump into Kickstarter. And then their first launch is for their series number 16. Or number 12 or number, right. Number three, even. It's just like, and in their mindset, it makes perfect sense. Well, I don't need funding for issues 1 and 2. That's already done. I need funding for issue 3. So I'm going to present issue 3 to Kickstarter. But I asked those creators, well, if you were going to, let's say you were never in the direct market, would you start your first issue released through comic shops be issue number 3 of a series? Probably not. You would launch it at issue number 1. Well, Kickstarter is a channel, much like the direct market. Probably, you know, nowadays, in terms of total customers, there's far more people that shop on Kickstarter than there are in the direct market. Now, probably not just in the comics category, but overall, 17 right. million people worldwide versus people that, you know, buy in comic shops. I'm positive. Sorry, retailers, if you want to argue with that, I'm tired. That's a bigger total market, right? But it's a platform, and so you launch with what is a clear jumping on point, and then when you do relaunch other issues of your series, make sure that at a high level, like in terms of the book title and the project title and the description, make sure that you're delivering the kind of pitch that you would deliver at a convention to a stranger, that you do not have, like that person doesn't know that your project, that person might not know that your project exists. You wouldn't pitch them on, you know, following up on the cliffhanger that happened last issue. Max is now struggling right. with, you know, Tony's, you know, halitosis. Like where are you? And I'm, you know, that's not a book. I don't believe.
No,
but it
sounds riveting. Tony!
Somebody write that down.
to follow up on that, like you said, with the in the last 2 months, it's 100% more than we're shopping at retailers because they were all closed and we were still able to deliver comic books when retailers couldn't.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We had a whole discussion about that. I think during the writers round table, we're talking about, you know, we're not pencils down. We're not having to stop and, you know, we're the ones that can get you the content right now. But yeah, piggybacking on that, you know, Travis's, when we did Tilt issue one was not on Kickstarter. That was one that we had the money to fund and create. So when we did Tilt issue two, Travis looked at the page. He was like, dude, you got to put number one on there. And I legitimately believe that changed the game because we, you know, we've only done 2 Kickstarters. We did one for a different book and we had double the amount of backers just doing Tilt two, which again, that first issue wasn't even on Kickstarter. So simple stuff like that it's easy to overlook. But like you guys were saying, if you just kind of think about it for a second of how you would actually pitch a series to somebody, you're not going to, you know, start halfway through. So I think that's pretty important. So this is something that you could, I mean, well, Tyler literally does all the time. So I guess we're going to try to make it simplistic or just quick thoughts maybe on detailing the process. This is something that somebody had asked. So what should you do for it? We'll just take it by section. So what should you do for pre-launch? So maybe just give like a helpful tip or something. And you know, each of you guys give a helpful tip. And we'll start with Tyler.
So, I mean, I've been preaching the power of the email list for as long as I've been doing the Comics Launch podcast, and I've probably, I'm sorry for people's inboxes, but I've probably, you know, contributed to more creators actually going and starting an email list and getting it rolling, than anyone. So I'm not going to talk about the email list. What I will, say is as sort of a newer tip, at least in the last year or so, is you're going to want to, as you're building out your Kickstarter page, you're going to want to submit it for a Kickstarter review at about the 80 to 85% done level. All right. Even if you don't, even if your video's not done, but maybe you've got a couple, like a quick little teaser, Taylor, like upload that, get the high level stuff, get, but you don't have to have all of your pledge levels figured out. You don't have to have all the graphics on the page. But just get it to enough so that you got enough up there. So it looks like a decent, and then submit that for review. And ideally you do that as early as possible, but at least a week before you want to pull that launch trigger. One, because Kickstarter review can be anywhere from instantaneous to 5 days sometimes, and depending upon when you're launching. But the most important thing is Kickstarter recently rolled out pre-launch pages, which is after your project has been reviewed, you can create a page that is a simple page that you can direct people to before you launch. It'll have the same URL as your project page once it goes live. And anyone that hits that page after your campaign is live will be taken to your Kickstarter. But on that page, there's just a simple, with one click, people can say, notify me about this project. And what that means is the Kickstarter will add those people to a list and send every one of those people a notification through Kickstarter and an email when, like, the minute your project launches. And so we're seeing a lot of creators that do put an effort into building up that notify me list, that pre-launch list, have their best launches ever and their best day ones ever as a result of just, you know, making that a priority in the pre-launch as they get very close to launch. So that would be my newer pre-launch tip.
Just piggybacking on that, that's something that we're doing for ours that's coming up. Well, by the time people listen to it, it's already live. But that was a really cool feature, I think. Especially you can have the three little questions that you answer. And so when people pull up that preview page, it gives the quick answers to three little questions about, you know, what's the project, who are the creators, where's the money going? So then before people ever even see it go live, they know kind of what's going on. So that's been pretty cool for us to experiment with. I didn't know it existed until I went and got the Kickstarter page reviewed, and it was like, oh, you can do this now. So I thought that was pretty cool. All right, how about you, Martin?
Well, I tried something new this time. My friend Kevin Laporte, who has done a bunch of successful Kickstarters, recommended, I think it's a product Tyler mentioned before, BackerKit. They have a new launch feature because my email open rate was like 12%. I would send email outs and I would get a 12% open rate, and that's no good. So the BackerKit, for a certain price, will offer a launch feature, that word launch again, where they handled the email portion of it. I just gave them my email addresses, put it in there. And they actually went through all of my previous Kickstarters and gathered all those emails as well. And they launched emails out just before my launch, right after my launch. And I think I did one more, and there's one more that's going to happen on the last day of the launch. And I will say, I had my best first day ever using it. It's a fee I hate paying third-party people for things I could probably do myself, but I have a huge email list from Cosmic Times around for 11 years. So we have a lot of emails, and it was getting to the point where people had just kind of stopped opening them. So this was kind of a fresh take on the email, and it seemed to pay off this time around.
All right. Yep. Travis, how about you, man?
I don't believe in pre-launches. I don't do nothing.
maybe this last time around.
Okay, so this last time, yes. But that was an experiment. Like, I knew statistically what I could get and what you could expect, and I'm expecting a small launch. I'm trying to keep the numbers low. I'm actually purposely trying to get less backers because I only want to print what I get. Like, I want to get – I know it's weird. Don't follow me. I'll explain it later.
Everybody cancel your pledges. Everybody cancels your pledges now.
No.
Travis can't everything.
I'm sorry, I backed it. Oh, I'm so sorry.
So ignore that. Just
if you don't want our money, Travis, just tell us.
Look, Matt, you guys have an account, and I've been fascinated with it since. So until I figure out how bank accounts work for comic creators. Anything. So I'm going to take a step here, and I'm going to actually pick a little fun at some comic creators. Not specifically naming anybody, but pre-launch when you have stuff to pre-launch. So I see a lot of people, what they'll do is they'll be like, I have a title of said comic book, and they'll announce that on January 1st. Oh, yeah. And they don't give us art until November. That doesn't help. Make sure you build the launch, a 3-month plan or even a month plan, whatever that plan is, that you can consistently show things and build things. Right now I'm doing Cthulhu Invades Oz. I have literally, I started it end of last year. I just started showing things in March, and I have plans every month to reveal new and new things until I get to the October release. Yeah. So I'm planning way out in advance because I want everyone to be aware of it. Everybody to be excited about it. Everybody's talking about it. You know, I know not all comic books can do that. I know you need the money sooner rather than later, but the sooner you can have actual content to show them, the better. But actually show them content. Don't just tease them with an image or tease them with this and then wait months and months in advance. They don't want that. They want to actually be able to see that this is that it's working and it's producing fruit, and that you're going to be able to give them what they're asking for, because they're starting to lose trust and lose excitement as they don't see anything or value as you grow.
Well, that's something we're dealing with right now. I already know what my next Kickstarter is going to be. We're putting the book together now, mm-hmm. but I'm purposely telling everybody, don't talk about it until after we finish this one to not confuse the brand. This is what we're focused on right now. Even though, like I said, let me ask Tyler this. How soon is too soon to set up that landing page? Should I have that ready to go as soon as this next Kickstarter ends?
I mean, it's a weird thing. And I know that this is the case, and I've learned it. But I will still get caught up in this, but because like we are very precious about our art and not wanting to show too much, right, and not wanting to put so much stuff out there and not want to, and there was this fear I know going into my launch is like, well, I don't want to talk about my Kickstarter too much because by the time I get around to launching it, nobody will be interested anymore. Right. But for every one person where that was the case, they got turned off because they heard about it long enough. There's 9,999 people that just never, that didn't have the time to hear about it and didn't get aware of it. And so, you know, best time is like our most successful launches are for books that we've given the entire, like are for books that we've like given away free copies of the entire thing for free in advance of the Kickstarters. And that shouldn't, even if we're selling the digital version of the book on the Kickstarter itself, like we still, like most creators who do not have massive marketing budgets, your problem is always going to be an obscurity problem and a lack of awareness problem. And you'll still see creators like apologize for being too overly promotional. Geico spends $1 billion a year on advertising. How many of us hate the Geico lizard or any of the other dozen of
there
of
is there. One I hate,
right? I'm sure like there's
that there award is. Guy for Chevy, that guy who gives yeah. the crowd of people like screw that guy, I hate him,
right? Right.
Yeah, but come on, the gecko, let's be real here, just right. Unfriend me on Facebook if you hate that gecko.
Oh, gosh, right. You know,
but what can't compete with that, right? And so there's no amount of tweets or posting, you know, that or Instagram posts that is going to make somebody, well, I was gonna back that, but I saw that three times this month, right? Like we are the only people that are going to see 100% of the stuff that we put out. And it's important to recognize that there's no such thing at our level without massive budgets. There's no such thing as being overly promotional, unless you are doing things that are against terms of service, like actually spamming people. And some people will do that, like actual spam, taking emails that people that haven't been given you permission to email them and emailing them, or spamming groups where you're jumping in groups, posting the same thing over and over, without any context or anything like that. And that ends up hurting you, but the, you know, promoting to your own audience when you're in the midst of a launch, you can't be overly promotional. And I don't think you can start too early either. But Martin, I don't want to say you're doing it wrong, because focus is also an important thing. And so splitting your messaging up, if you're in the midst of really pushing one property, you may only want to, you know, it's sort of like the old storyline writing for serialized comics. It's like, all right, we'll set up the next plot line in a couple of pages, but 80% is to the what we're focusing on now. And then that becomes the 80% the next time around, as you seed the next thing and the next thing and the next thing.
Well, and one of the things that I would recommend if I was in your shoes, and what I'm going to do with my current Kickstarter, is I have one coming out in July. I'm going to promote it. Like, when we get to a certain pledge level, I'm going to give those people the 5-page preview of what this book is. I'm going to use it to promote the other one after I'm funded, of course, to use that to help build that along and to build that brand and to build that momentum. You know, I don't want to overdo it. I still want it to be about the thing, but I don't think that's hurt. You're looking for things for backer count rewards or for stretch goals. Those are wonderful things to give to people.
I would encourage any podcast listeners that dig this stuff and want to go deep on crowdfunding and comics and Kickstarter and how we do this to check out the Comics Launch podcast. Wherever you're listening to this, you can probably add that to your queue. We come out it's a weekly podcast, new episodes on Sunday. Travis has been on a couple times, so you can download some of his episodes, and I'll have to get Martin on soon as well.
Thank you.
And then I'll also encourage you to go to comicslaunch.com/funded and grab it's about a 60-page strategy guide that I pulled together, sharing some of the coolest strategies that comic creators are doing and using to get their projects funded. And we highlight strategies that work for first-time creators that are just launching small projects to some of the biggest projects and most successful creators on there. So comicslaunch.com/funded has that free strategy guide for you.
So. Yeah. This is already going to be split into two episodes. So we should just record two different versions of your closings because, well, Travis, how long is your Kickstarter still going?
I think it's 12 days. It's a quick starter, so it's only 2 weeks.
It's not going to make it. And we got
12
Thursday. Okay.
Yeah, no big deal. It is what it is.
Oh, well, no, I still want you to, because this is going to be up Thursday, so both of your Kickstarters should still be live.
Yes, sir.
You still have like 7 days, right?
7 days, exactly.
Okay, and I just saw it, so I'll probably back it later. But yeah, so definitely tell us about your projects. Travis, we'll start off with you since, you know, people know you from our earlier stuff, so go ahead.
Yeah, I'm Travis Gibb with Broke Down and Four Dead Bodies. My latest Kickstarter right now is Parallels 1 and 2. What Parallels is, it's a series of anthology stories. So instead of buying the $20 anthologies that each of these are at, which would cost you tons and tons of money, I put in a small little floppy for you. You can get it for $10 and you can check it out. If you want to get 1 and 2, it's going to cost you, I think, $17 is what I charged. But yeah, it gives you an opportunity to kind of check out my writing if you like it. Also, if you've never heard of Broke Down and Four Dead Bodies, I have a couple of tiers that allow you to get all the issues of Broke Down and Four Dead Bodies. Also, if you just missed issue 3, we have a tier that allows you to get issue 1, 2, or 3. Just you pick the one you want to get. So try it out. See if you like it. Beyond that, the one thing I want to just talk about is in July, I have another Kickstarter coming out called Voodoo Nations, which is going to be a really cool book, a horror theme. So that's going to be coming out mid-June is what it's currently looking at. So keep on the lookout for that. And thanks for having me on again, guys.
Yeah, man. Appreciate you. All right, Martin, tell us.
All right. I'm Martin Pierre with Cosmic Times. Currently, we're almost to the finish line for our Kickstarter for From Blood, the complete series. This is the entire series. It's over 70 pages of comics in 3 volumes. It's the story of a superpowered mental patient on a quest to discover who he really is. Like I said, the Kickstarter ends on Sunday. What is that? June 7th. So please check it out. It's you can find out more information at cosmictimes.net, or all of our social media links are there, or just search for From Blood, the complete series on Kickstarter. It's ending soon. We've got a lot of great tiers still available. Check it out.
All right.
City.
awesome to have both you guys on. For us at Beards and Comics, you guys know all our stuff by now, I'd hope. So we should be 2 days into, if you're listening to this on release day, which we really encourage because, you know, it helps algorithms. But if you're listening to this on release day, then we are 2 days into our Kickstarter for our first horror comic. Welcome to Everville number one. All kinds of cool rewards and really cool merchandise that we have spent a lot of time putting designs together for. So definitely check out the Kickstarter. Beards and Comics podcast, we do have a Discord that has some different resources for you guys. I guess we need to put some comics launch stuff in there now. So basically, a lot of our listeners are people that are interested in making comics and getting into indie comics, stuff like that. So definitely check out our Discord, all kinds of useful stuff on art, books that we read, and different resources. And Catalyst Comics Studio is the host of really this show. That is our overlying company. We put out hero books, and of course, we're doing this Welcome to Everville number one. Got some other stuff coming up. So be on the lookout. And we appreciate everybody for listening. And we hope that you guys will check out all these Kickstarters. There are three between this panel right now. So, you know, if you back all three of them, then Travis is going to, I don't know, eat chips or something.
You back all three, I'll personally help you on your Kickstarter. Come talk to me. I'll personally not turn your emails or, I mean, no, I'll respond to. But seriously, anybody who needs help, like reach out. And if you do back all three, I'm sure we can come up with something. So don't worry about that. Sounds good,
man. I mean, we'll take that. So
yeah, if you back all three, you let me know that you backed all three. I will give you something special. I promise.
Oh, my.
Look at that.
Look at Travis coming through. You're welcome, Martin. You know,
Martin has a full company with way more books than me. I just want to point that out.
I love it. Oh, God. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. And we will see you all next week on Beards and Comics Podcast.
Sounds good.